This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
ولكن حدثنا ابن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال عرضت علي الأمم. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه narrates that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the nations of the world were presented to me. Allahu Akbar. From the time of Adam عليه السلام till the last human being to walk the earth, he said, I saw them all on a plain of land. عرضت علي الأمم, the nations. Some of the scholars says this was in a dream, which is revelation, and others have said this was during the night journey, and there are other opinions as well. He says, فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّهْطُ وَالنَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّجُلُ وَالرَّجُلَانِ وَالنَّبِيَّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. Allahu Akbar. He said, I saw prophets standing, and their followers were less than 10. 3 to 9. People had followed that Prophet. Imagine Allah Almighty sending a Prophet to a community, to an ummah, who is aided with hujjah, proof, and ayat, signs, and wahi, revelation, and only 3, 4, 5 people believe in him. He walks into Jannah with his ummah, and the rest of his community are driven into Jahannam. He said, I saw other Prophets who had with them only 1 or 2 people. Ya Ilahi. And I saw prophets who were standing all by themselves. Not a single person from their ummah accepted their da'wah. So Yawm al-Qiyamah, this messenger would walk into Jannah and the rest of his community, they are all taken into oblivion. Allahu Akbar. And this is ta'ziyah. This is condolences for you, O my brother and my sister, who is a da'iyah, a caller to the path of Allah. And an advisor of good and a forbidder of evil, yet you see that there are no fruits to your da'wah. There seem to be very few people who are influenced by what you say and what you do. And you feel that this may be a sign that Allah Ta'ala is angry with you. لا يا أخي. This on its own is not a sign that Allah is angry with you. كثرة does not necessarily indicate that your da'wah is successful. Should huge multitudes come into the deen with you. And just because a few accept Islam with you or repent to Allah through you, it doesn't mean that you are somebody who is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you continue upon your da'wah with your sincerity and with your knowledge and with your consultation of the people of understanding and with your perpetual repentance. And as for the guidance of others, this is a matter that hasn't been left for me and you. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Their guidance is not upon you. You are not going to be better than this Prophet who stands يوم القيامة all by himself. And now our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is looking around wanting to see his ummah. Where is my ummah? How many people will follow me? And he would finally see his ummah. We will speak about this in the second part of the khutbah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The nations, he says, were presented to me. And I saw the Prophet, and with him was the Rahd. Madun al-Ashr. 3 to 9 people. And a Prophet who was followed by 1 or 2 people. And a Prophet who was standing by myself. Where is my ummah? He says, Farufi Ali sawadun azim. And then he said, suddenly I saw huge multitudes of people. Azim, tremendous gathering. And I thought this was my ummah. فَقِيلَ لِي هَذَا مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ. This is Prophet Musa and his people, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَهَذِهِ كَرَامَ وَمَنْقَبَ لِنَبِيِّ اللَّهِ مُوسَى عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is an honoring of the Prophet of Allah, Musa. Huge gatherings believed and accepted his message. But where are my people? He says, وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقْ فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ. ثم قيل لي انظر إلى الأفق الآخر فنظرت فإذا سواد عظيم فقيل لي هذه أمتك. He says, I looked and I was told to stare into the horizon and I saw huge crowds of people having filled the horizon. And then I was told, look into the other horizon. And I looked and I saw multitudes of people having filled that horizon as well. He was impressed, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then it was said to him, this is your nation. That's us bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is your nation. This is your nation. But it doesn't stop there. He is then told, وَمَعَهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَا يَدُخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. And with them, there will be 70,000 Muslims. Ya Rabbi, make us amongst them. 70,000 Muslims who will be made to enter Jannah without any prior suffering or accountability. So everything you have heard and read with regards to the terror and horror of Yawm al-Hisab, the day of standing, the day of accountability, as people wait, sweating and suffering and going grey, as other people stand in trepidation, waiting for their name to be called out to stand in front of Al-Jabbar, the compeller Allah, there will be a group of people who will be given special treatment and they will be given backdoor access into Jannah. Their faces will be glowing like the moon. Of course they will be glowing like the moon. As Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abi Hurairah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي زُمْرَةٌ هُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا تُضِيءُ وُجُوهُهُمْ إِضَاءَةَ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. He says, a group of my ummah will enter paradise on the day of judgment. They are 70,000. Their faces will be illuminating like the luminosity of the moon when it is full.
70,000 of them.
Isn't this a small number, however? Because our ummah is a blessed ummah, an ummah of barakah. The ummah today is in its billions. And 70,000 is equivalent to any small village of any place in the world where Muslims are present. 70,000 is very small. Your Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam thought of this before you and I. Because he is bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim, merciful and compassionate to the believers. He thought of this. He says, as Ahmad narrates in his Musnad, فَاسْتَزَدْتُ رَبِّي. I asked Allah for more. I asked Allah for more. فَزَادَنِي. And He gave me. What did He give him? فَزَادَنِي مَعَ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا. He says, with every 1,000, Allah has given me another 70,000. Allahu Akbar. With every 1,000 from the 70,000, another 70,000 will be given this privilege of entering Jannah without any difficulty. They come out of their graves in peace and serenity to be received by Malaika, angels, who have prepared for them vehicles, the beauty of which only Allah Almighty knows. And from there, they are taken to Jannah whilst everybody else suffers. He says, Allah has given me with every 1,000, another 70,000. So that is 4,900,000. But the hadith doesn't stop there. And the next part of the hadith I can only translate, but I cannot explain. As Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Sunan, and al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam, that he said, with every 1,000, another 70,000 plus, وَثَلَاثَ حَثَيَاتٍ مِّنْ حَثَيَاتِ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلٍ. In addition to that, three handfuls from the handfuls of my Lord. Three scoops from the scoops of my Lord. We don't understand this, but we know it is great. Thus Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he said, Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Qais, one of the narrators of this hadith, when hearing this, he says, فَأَخَذْتُ بِتَلَالِيبِ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ. أَنْتَ سَمِعْتَ هَذَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْهُ وَوَعَاهُ قَلْبِ. He says, he took him by his clothes, and he said to him, did you honestly hear this from the Prophet ﷺ? He said, I heard it from him, and my heart fully comprehended it as well. Allahu Akbar. Then our Messenger ﷺ got up, ثُمَّ نَهَضَى. فدخل منزله فخاض الناس في أولئك الذين يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب فقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين ولدوا في الإسلام فلم يشركوا بالله شيئا وذكروا أشياء. He says the Prophet ﷺ got up without any further elaboration and entered his house. So the companions, they began to speak. What did they begin to speak about? What was the conversation of the Sahaba? Was it about women? Was it about pistachio nuts and foods and drinks? Was it about tourist destinations and where we should go for holiday? They were discussing, who are these 70 people?
Yeah, these were the discussions and the conversations of the Sahaba. Have you noticed, my brothers, how much of our conversation goes into pointless matters? And for the majority of time, when people hit the age of 13 plus, 90% of the discussion is women. One way or another. If this individual is practicing, he is talking about something totally haram. And if this individual is supposedly practicing, he is talking about marrying the second, third and fourth wife. But one way or another, religious or not religious, women seems to always be the discussion. Or food. Or food. The best restaurant, the best biryani, the best burger. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, he would say, جَنِّبُوا مَجَالِسَنَا ذِكْرَ النِّسَاءِ وَالطَّعَامِ فَإِنِّي أَكْرَهُ لِلرَّجُلِ أَنْ يَكُونَ وَصَّافًا لِبَطْنِهِ وَفَرْجِهِ. He said, please, when you are sat with us, don't discuss women and food. Because I don't like to see a man who is always describing his appetite for food and appetite for women. Don't talk about these things in our gatherings. This was the discussion of the Sahaba. Who will enter Jannah without accountability and without punishment? This is their concern. What can we do to get closer to Jannah?
This is what the Sahaba engaged in and discussed. Who are they? Some of the Sahaba said maybe they are the ones who accompanied the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe it's them. Others, they said, no, we think it's the ones who were born into Islam and they never had associated a partner with Allah. And they mentioned other opinions. Then the Messenger ﷺ came out and he said to them, مَا الَّذِي تَخُوضُونَ فِيهِ. What are you discussing? They said, we're trying to find out who these 70,000 blessed people are. And then he gives the answer. If you and I are a people who fear the day of Qiyamah and the horrors associated with it and its longevity, then these are four characteristics that we should try to apply. Should we wish to be spared? He says, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَكْتَوُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He says, these 70,000 plus people, they are people who, number one, they don't ask for ruqya. See, Sa'ir ibn Jubayr says, I'm going to give you another hadith about ruqya. This is why he mentioned this hadith. They are a people who, they do not ask for ruqya. Number two, they don't brand themselves with fire. Number three, they don't follow bad omens. And number four, they put their reliance solely upon Allah. They don't ask for ruqya. They don't ask for somebody to recite ruqya upon them. Is this haram? No, nobody has said this is haram. But their reliance upon Allah is so great that they will only ask for ruqya from the Creator Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shouldn't be misunderstood, that if somebody offers you ruqya without you asking, it doesn't mean that you should reject it. It wasn't from the sunnah to reject ruqya when offered, as our Messenger ﷺ did not reject the ruqya of our mother Aisha. And he did not reject the ruqya of angel Jibreel when given to him. But our Messenger ﷺ, when he fell ill because of the magic that was afflicted upon him by the Yahudi, the Prophet ﷺ did not ask any human being for ruqya. It was only until Jibreel ﷺ came down and he gave him ruqya. But he wouldn't ask. And it is also recommended that you offer ruqya to those who are ill. Don't wait for them and don't pressure them to ask of you. They may need it, but they don't want to ask. Offer ruqya. أَنْتَ مُحْسِنٌ بِذَٰلِكَ كَمَا قَالَ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَّةَ فِي الْمَجْمُوعِ. So they are a people who don't ask for ruqya. This isn't to say that they are a passive people who don't take the means and measures necessary in life. They don't work, they don't earn, they don't go out hoping that rizq was going to come to them because they have relied upon Allah. This isn't them. They are a people who would engage in the means and the measures necessary, but their hearts were only attached to Allah. That is why Allah says, خُذُوا عِذْرَكُمْ
خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Take the means necessary to protect yourselves. And Allah Almighty, He would say about Dawood, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْصِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ. We taught Dawood, David, how to create armor, body armor for war. So they would work and they would engage. Their limbs were attached to the asbab, to the measures, but their hearts were only attached to مُسَبِّبَ الْأَسْبَابِ. مُسَبِّبِ الْأَسْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are a people whose reliance is so great that they would leave some aspects of halal, and they would ask it only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't ask for ruqya. Also, they don't brand themselves with fire. لا يكتوون. This is a form of treatment called cauterization today. Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted it, but he disliked it tremendously because of the pain involved. He says they don't engage in kay, in cauterization or fire branding. Number three, they don't follow any bad omens. So they don't see any number as unlucky, or place as unlucky, or a time as unlucky. Their reliance is upon Allah. And then the Messenger ﷺ summarizes and says, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They are a people who put their trust in Allah. So this last sentence you can say is a summary of what came before it. They are a people who have put their trust in Allah.